Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Here we go on a Friday morning, Jags Drive Time. Beautiful sunshine and 55 degrees right now in Jacksonville. Welcome to Jags Drive Time. Brian Sexton along with John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan, the whole crew here for the next 30 minutes with you. And we're going to start with a little different. We're going to bring in head coach Doug Marrone right off the bat. Good morning, coach. How are you? Ashlyn will be with us shortly. Can we just get away from Ashlyn so she doesn't feel left out here early? Maybe? She's waving. All right. Well, we'll leave that one alone. Joe is over there with Ashlyn. We'll get to her in a little bit. Start with, again, a beautiful morning here in North Florida, coach. A much colder, windier environment up in Cleveland. How do you prepare for the wind that you'll face? Because it's been pretty calm here this week.
Well, you know, early in the week, it was pretty windy on Wednesday. I don't know if it'll get to the gust that potentially can happen up in Cleveland. But, you know, obviously we worked against the wind, and we've done it quite a bit during camp when obviously when we had the hurricanes coming and things of that nature, just to make sure that we get that type of work. But at the same time, you know, it's more from a special team standpoint, you know, with, you know, the kicking aspect of it, you know, working on things that we'll need to do and just be prepared for it. So we work on that stuff during the week.
You're talking about some snow, consistent winds around 20 to 25 and gusts to 40 as you put your game plan together. How much do you factor that in, or do you just do what you do?
No, you factor that in. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, we don't look at it. But, you know, every week we're tracking weather, you know, whether we're playing here at home, whether or we're playing on the road. You know, obviously, you know, when you play in domes, it's a little bit easier. Yeah. You know, the environment's, you know, going to be there. But, you know, you have to look at it. This way you have a plan. You talked about it. So this way nothing catches you off guard when you get up there. So we prepare for all that.
Now, when you played, I got to figure you were a guy who went out sleeveless shirt before the game, trying to show off the other team. The cold didn't affect you, right? Yeah. Is that you?
Stupidity, yeah. I've done that. I've done that before. So, you know, a lot of times on teams, we'd say, okay, listen, whatever we're going to wear week one, you know, that's what we're going to wear all week. And you kind of, you know, get together and do that. And, you know, but nowadays I think it's so different with the sideline. You have, you know, the heated benches, you have the heated blowers on the sideline, and, you know, you're out there on the field running around, you come over and you're warmed up. It's a little bit different than, you know, when you were a kid growing up and you were out there and you didn't have any of that. So, you know, I always liked playing in the rain, playing in the snow, playing in all the elements. I thought that's what always made football different than most other sports.
Do you worry about players thinking about it during the game, or is that just something that's going to – I mean, you usually take the approach they're going to do what they're going to do, but do you have any advice for them on that front, I guess?
Yeah, I think that, you know, hey, listen, the goal is to go out there and play and win the game. That's the main thing. And, you know, avoid the things that you can't control. You know, you're not going to be able to control the weather. You're not going to be able to control that. Let's control the things that we can control and go out there and play.
First place this morning. Did you see any of the game last night?
I tried to stay up, and I fell asleep.
I know it doesn't change your approach at all, but obviously as we get to this part of the season – people are looking at the standings and creating opportunities based on what the other teams in the race do. Do you talk about that at all with your team today?
No, because, you know, like I said, I think, you know, that's people on the outside are going to talk about that, and that's fine. You know, I'm happy that they have an opportunity, you know, to talk about that. You know, but for us, you know, if we don't keep our focus on the day, you know, like, and that's what was my approach to the team this morning. You know, then we get ourselves in trouble, meaning that, you know, if our focus starts teetering to the outside of the what ifs and the maybes and, you know, then obviously I know it's not 110% focus on, you know, what we have to get accomplished today. So, you know, really from day one, that's how we've been talking to this team, you know, prior to the season of, hey, listen, let's be where we are at today. And let's do the best job we can right now to prepare ourselves to be able to perform on Sunday. So that's been kind of the slogan, you know, with our team right now.
The other outside topic is playing a winless team. Does that, you know, I know you look at the Browns and see a team that's very capable. I assume that the players do as well and that the record this week in preparation is not a factor.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you don't really start looking at records, you know, at this point. I don't think records really dictate I know the slogans, you know, you are what your record is and things of that nature. But, you know, we also understand that we're all professionals and, you know, at any time, any team can beat either team, you know, if they're not ready to go. So, you know, for me, I put my focus in on, you know, hey, this is what this team that we're playing is doing well. This is what we need to do to beat them. You know, if we don't do those things, then we won't win the game.
Well, I think if anybody took the time to watch any of the Cleveland game against Detroit, you saw a team that was playing hard. And I mean, they, and Detroit's a pretty good team, and the Browns gave them everything they could handle, especially up front. The ends, Ogbah and Garrett, and then Danny Shelton. That's a really big, strong front, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the top defenses in the league. You know, Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator. He's had great success in a lot of places where he's been. He gives you a lot of problems. Well, you know, schematically there are issues that he gives you, and then obviously third down there's a lot of different packages that you got to be prepared for. Plus, you know, each game is going to be something new, so you know you got to be ready for that. But I think the main thing I see a team that, you know, in Cleveland that is playing extremely hard. They play actually better at home. You know, they've lost four games by, you know, 3 points or less. They've been in a lot of football games. You know, and people are trying when they go out there on Sunday. They're trying to win. And, you know, and we're trying to go up there, and we're going on the road, and, you know, and there's going to be some elements up there, and we have to block all that stuff up, and we have to, you know, go out there and perform.
Speaking of elements, Coach, Brian's going to be on the sidelines this week. I'm in the press box. Do you care what he wears?
No, is he all right to it? No, I'm sure he'll be bundled up.
I will.
Layered up.
I promise you. I have a pair of $35 socks that I bought. Because if your feet are warm, you stay warm, right? I can't wait to put them on.
Well, I'll be,
yeah, I know,
checking you guys
out.
Yeah, it'll be in good shape.
So we know where the men right. will be. And we know where you
That's
will
right.
be.
It's funny because I've everywhere I've coached, I've been on the sideline. Except 1 year in Tennessee, I was up in University of Tennessee. I was up in the booth, and I can remember when I was at the Jets, we were playing some. Really, in Buffalo, some tough weather games. I mean, really, really
brutal.
Tough. And I'll never forget one day. I mean, it was raining. I mean, pouring rain. It was cold. And there was a coach, and he's up in the booth, and he's like, hey, coach, is it raining as hard as it looks? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, it's freaking raining unbelievably hard right now. And guess what? It's freezing. You know what I'm saying? He's like, how is it up? He's like, well, no, it's fine up here, you know. Then we played in Green Bay. I was like, hey, where? What? Hold on. Is that right at halftime? So we come out at halftime. So I'm like, all right, you guys up there? No answer. Hey, what's going on? Hey, are they up in the booth yet? Are they up there? Hey, where were you? What are you guys doing? Coach, the kibasa up here is unbelievable. I'm like, are you guys kidding me right now? We're playing a game, you know? You know, what's going on? But
you must have been winning at that time.
Yeah, but my point is, like, those guys up there, they'll bust your chops a little bit, go, hey, is it as cold down there as it looks? You know? Like, yeah, it's freezing down here. You know what I mean?
John will be so warm.
It's hilarious.
John will be in the press box. He'll be so warm that he'll be taking his shoes off.
Yeah.
I'll also have a
man, they got the heat turned up in here. Yeah. It's too hot. Yeah, that's what he'll be telling you, and you'll –
I'll tell the story better after the game than you will, because I'll know what it feels like to be down there.
That's all right.
Yeah. You're not going to give that one up.
I'll live with that.
Yeah, I think it's probably. Yeah. You grew up in the snow, Coach. I mean, you're from that part of the world.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing. For 3 hours, you just got to block that part of it out,
yeah,
right?
I did a polar bear swim. I've done stuff like that. I mean, I'm fine. I'm good.
I think we got to back up.
Plus, look at me. I have enough.
Where'd you do the polar bear swim?
I have enough, you know. Yeah. Around me, you know, muscle around me. I want to say I have enough muscle around me to keep. I'm well insulated, so I don't have to worry about that.
Did you do that in Buffalo?
Yeah, I actually gain weight for cold weather games. I just didn't know if anyone knew that.
No.
Yeah, I actually try to gain weight. You know what I'm saying? Eat a little bit more, eat a little bit extra, so put a little bit more weight on.
What do you do the next week when we're in Phoenix and it's 75 degrees? You lose it in a week?
I sweat.
there will be no doubt about that one. That's
exactly.
A week away. That,
can
that's
next
the
week's
side
topic
of
be
yeah,
the
I
worry,
I'm going week to week now. I'm not worried. Day to
You're
day.
Focused.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
right.
focused.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Great. Appreciate it.
Enjoy the day.
Always. I will.
All right. Friday's a good day around here. When we come back, Ashlyn Sullivan joins us. We get into big things, ozone snapshot. And he will, he won't. He might. That's Jags Drive Time next. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Friday morning. Getting to you into big thing number one a little later than normal on this Friday morning, and it's trap game. Now, you heard Doug say just earlier that he really doesn't think this team is going to suffer from that trap game mentality despite the Browns' 0-9 record. He even said that we have to focus on today, not even looking forward to Sunday, guys.
You know, I don't buy the whole trap for a couple of reasons. One is that at 0-9, you're fully aware of the fact that this could be a dangerous game. I can remember in 2008, this team went back-to-back games against the winless 0-8 Bengals and the winless 0-8 Lions. Mm-hmm. And they got beat in Cincinnati. And they won big in Detroit. That was the year Detroit went winless. There's no trap game. The trap game would be the Colts the week before you have the Seahawks, perhaps, because they would come in with a poor record and you'd think, all right, we got this. We got to get focused on Seattle.
Right. First of all, by definition, this is not a trap game because nobody around here is talking about the Arizona game. It's not that Arizona's not good, but a trap game would be if you were playing Tennessee next week and it was all for the division and everything was set up to that, and then you weren't thinking about the Browns. The Browns game is dangerous because, you know, is there a possibility in theory to overlook because of the record? Sure, but this team's not that. Meaning the Jaguars, A, haven't been winning enough to do that, and don't you get the idea from this defense that they want to dominate.
Yes.
They want to control. They want to be on SportsCenter. They want to be that team. I think they're too hungry and too motivated. Yeah, they want to win, but they also want to go out and win, not 25-3, and keep having this sort of defensive season. They're hungry and they're trying to flex.
So, the way they played last week, I don't think you can go in and go, all right, well, forget about the Browns, right? I mean, you have to look at your own tape and see the mistakes that they made.
Right. None of that means the Browns can't win this game.
No.
I'm just saying the motivation.
Here's my thing. I don't think DeShone Kizer can beat this defense. If Phillip Rivers couldn't beat it, I don't see how he can beat it. But the thing is, the weather is an equalizer with your offense. You're beat up along the offensive line. Parnell and Omame have not practiced at all this week. And Cann still has the tricep, which has to be limiting him somewhat. Fournette has the ankle that he talked about yesterday that's limited him somewhat. And you're going up there where the wind and the cold and the snow creates a greater obstacle for a team that doesn't have the offense clicking like the defense. But I just don't think Kizer can beat this defense.
No, the danger for this game is, you remember the Jets scenario where you felt like and probably still feel like the Jaguars are a better team, but the Jets got a couple of big plays that...
And we had a drop pass in the overtime period.
Right, but they got ahead, the Jets, or they got even, and then they got ahead in the second half. And then all of a sudden, when you're behind, it's harder for the defense to do the things that we have all seen this defense do in terms of putting the hammer down and pulling away. When you're trailing, it's harder for a defense to be dominant like the Jaguars defense can be.
One more thing to consider, Ashlyn, when you talk about the whole trap game thing, is that this football team is only a half a game ahead of the Titans in first place. In order for them to capitalize on how the Steelers helped them last night, they have to go and win on Sunday. These guys are going to be focused and understand what's at stake, and that is a full game lead on your division rival.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to focus on Sunday. You're in first place now, but if you don't take care of Sunday, you're not in first place for now, for long.
Absolutely.
And you ask what the goal of this season has to be, and I think it has to be to stay right where you are and be first in the AFC South. I mean, you see outside their locker room since OTAs, it says win the division. I think that has to be their goal going forward. I mean, they're there now. They just got to stay there.
So I had a gratuitous plug and showed my kids last week, and so I'll talk about them again. My 11 and my 13-year-old this morning were watching NFL Network, and they had the seedings. They don't understand the whole seeding thing. They call it rankings. And they said, Dad, this morning the Jags are ranked third. And what they mean is that the Jaguars in first place in the division, mm-hmm. and with the tiebreakers as they currently exist, are sitting in that three spot, which means they'd be a wild card team hosting the sixth spot. I tried to explain that.
Sure.
To them. So when you look at it, and you and I have talked about this, is that where the Jaguars should expect to be? Should they expect to be that team that's in the three hole, or should they be looking at two? Should they think, well, you know, maybe if the Steelers or the Patriots drop here a little bit, one or two is available to them?
Well, first of all, my kid's a junior in college, so just got up.
Yeah, I got to rub that in.
I think he just probably just went to sleep, and he'll be up in about 3 hours.
Exactly.
No, I think the Jaguars right now, I don't see any I don't think they're thinking about seeding. But in terms of expectations, in terms of what this team thinks is, remember, they've outachieved everybody's conversation and expectation already. They have from the time training camp, they have from the time the regular season started. So I think they expect, looking at a 7-game schedule that includes Seattle and Tennessee at the end, I think they'd be disappointed if they don't get through that 5-2 or 6-1. You know, they're not going to say that now, but I think that's what their expectation would be. If you can do that, you can get up, and Pittsburgh and New England aren't going to go undefeated the rest of the way.
Right?
They might, but
well, New England
history shows you that doesn't happen. So if you can get to 12-4, or 13, that should be what they're thinking about right now. There's no reason for them not to be thinking about that now because they control it.
Well, and Pittsburgh and New England play each other, mm-hmm. and the Patriots have a 5-game road swing with one home game in there. So it's like 2-1 home and then away. They're in Mexico City against the Raiders. The Raiders are a capable team. Who knows? The interesting thing is, and Ashlyn, you know this, is that the hyper-focus that Doug Marrone talks about all the time is just this week. And if they focus on this week and beat the Browns, then next week focus on the Cardinals and don't look too far ahead. Don't think about where they're seated. Then it will just naturally happen that they will stay in the conversation, stay in contention for something 3-2, maybe even 1. You don't know.
Definitely. He's a very much day-by-day type of guy, which I appreciate out of him. I mean, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. He's not even focusing on Sunday. He's just talking about winning today. Now, big thing number three is offense. How are you going to move the ball on Sunday with, one, the weather being a factor, and two, the Browns have the fourth-best rushing defense in the league, and we talked about that. Now, we're back to, once again, talking about Blake having to get that deep ball and that offensive movement going once again because you have Fournette limited, and then you have the line of scrimmage being stacked, which is going to cause an issue.
So we're walking down the hallway yesterday after the coordinated part of the day where the coordinators talk. I could see you give me the look, like, keep moving. I want to talk to Nate by myself. So I finally stopped talking and let you talk and walked away. So you get answer the question. Tell us how they're going to do it.
I have no idea.
All right. So
no,
I'm glad I left.
And I joke about that, but it moving the ball offensively this week on paper is a big challenge. So I get the worry all week with, okay, Fournette's a little limited. They didn't run the ball real well last week. But back up a minute. This is still the number six offense in the league right now in terms of total yardage. I think what they have to do is they have to hit big plays in the passing game, and you have to forget that Allen Hurns isn't there to do it. Well, Allen Hurns really hasn't been the guy who's hit that big play so far yet this year anyway. He hasn't been their big play guy. So I think you have to hope that Blake's accuracy, which he was accurate deep the other day, stays there, even with the wind, even whenever. I think you've got to try those balls because I think that's how you're going to move the ball offensively.
All right, so let's assume that the Browns can take Marquise Lee away.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he throwing to?
Keelan Cole. And
the undrafted rookie from Kentucky Wesleyan.
In the last two or three games, that's worked. And so I get that that's an uncomfortable feeling.
I'm just trying to point out the fact that
as an observer. But in the last month, he has done okay. The X factor here is Dede Westbrook. I still wonder what his contribution will be, being it's his first game.
Well, he thinks 200 yards.
Well, he thinks 200 yards, and that's and it's terrific.
It's preposterous.
I don't feel 200 yards. And I think it will be interesting to see if they can figure out a way to work him into the scheme and get him something close to what he and the fans believe he will contribute.
I think you're going to see 89 and 83. Koyak and Lewis be the guys, because if that wind is gusting to 40 miles an hour, that deep ball is only going to be available in the first or the third or the second and the fourth quarters, depending on which direction you're headed. So you're going to have to carve out some room to make Danny Shelton run and find room to run by throwing it intermediate, and that's where Lewis and Koyak are going to have to contribute.
I think this may be a low-scoring game where when you look up, you say that Blake's mobility and his ability to run, I'm not usually a guy who thinks that is a staple of the offense, but I think it may be a factor this week because he ran well when asked last week. I think this might be the week that he's a big factor on that front.
All right, time to take a quick break. When we come back, Ashlyn will have either ozone snapshot or a soft shoe number. We'll talk amongst ourselves and decide in the break.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on this Friday morning. Back here with you, not with a song and dance, but with Ozone Snapshot. Our first one from Bill from Illinois. Zone, something about this week's game doesn't feel right. I have a bad feeling about it. I can't put a finger on it, but I sense a strong possibility of a self-inflicted wound leading to a bad loss. That will sting for much longer than a week.
You know, and I got this a lot, and I think people are sort of overthinking it in the sense that they're so happy and you've won for a few weeks. And now it's almost like, I can't believe something bad is not going to happen. I think the Browns are going to be a difficult matchup because it's the NFL, because you're the weather, because et cetera, et cetera. But I think the Jaguars find a way to win the game. But I am struck by what an overwhelming feeling. You thought this week that the fans would be, oh, we're going to kill this 0-9 team. And it's almost like they're so scared to say that they're scared to death of the game.
The only way that the Browns beat the Jaguars is if the Jaguars hand it to them and fumble the ball away, Blake throws a pick six, something crazy like that. Because DeShone Kizer is not going to do what Philip Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger couldn't do and beat this defense with his arm. That's not happening. So right. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Worry about a bad throw, I don't know. I just think their game plan is going to be conservative enough that they're not going to have Blake in situations where he's going to make too many bad throws.
The X factor that scares you with what you talked about is weather makes those things seem more likely.
It does.
And that's the scary thing about the game.
No, there's no doubt.
If there was no weather, those kind of things happen.
If there was no weather, you'd like the Jaguars' chances remarkably.
If there was no weather, it'd be an abyss.
Well, there is going to be no weather for you because you're going to be sitting right, in a nice climate
I'll be in the abyss.
Environment. Absolutely.
Doing my soft shoe.
Yeah, well, there is a feeling that Ozone Snapshot week in and week out is its own song and dance, Ashlyn, so you really didn't have to entertain us.
No, and the abyss is a good place to be, John, in my opinion, on Sunday. Moving on, Stephen from Jacksonville. What do you think about the style of swagger that the Jaguars have quickly adopted? Should the players act like they've been there before, or do you think their publicly expressed confidence is acceptable? Bulletin board material comments, taunting penalties, and game ejections because of the fighting would seem like things that do more harm than good towards winning football games.
Well, obviously you've got to curtail the stuff that gets you penalties. And I thought it got obviously it got a touch out of hand at the end of the game last week, more than a touch because it hurt you. But the swagger, I love it, because this team, I still feel like, needed to convince itself this year that it was good, even beyond its play on the field. They now believe it. They're talking. I think there was an element of this team that needed Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith to keep saying, we're good, we're good, we're better. And I think there's an element that it carried along behind that a little bit, and now it's caught up. Sure, cut out the taunting penalties, but I love the aggressiveness, the youth, if you will. I'm all for the young kids, Brian.
You're all about it. Ramsey, absolutely, because he can back it up. And Telvin, absolutely, he backs it up. Deshaun Gibson's comments this week in Cleveland, hold on. You better go back it up now. Hang 40 on you. I mean, there's a point where you just go, shut up. Yeah. We don't need to. You're going too far.
But you knew Deshaun was going to do that. He did that as
an
introductory.
He's smart enough not to go. I know it doesn't make that much of a difference. I just, if he goes and he makes game-changing plays, then I'm wrong.
Well,
better go make game-changing plays.
True that.
Okay.
True that.
See that?
That is hip of you,
That's
John.
Me.
He's lit this morning.
Oh, gosh.
I was trying to. All right. So time for he will, he won't, he might. You're first.
I'm going to go with Blake Bortles.
Okay.
And I had some other thoughts, but I'll go with Blake because I think he will be the key to the game, the Jaguars offensively, because of what else is going on around him. I think you have a beat-up offensive line. He was key last week with his mobility. I think he'll do a better job getting the ball to receivers than you might initially think with Allen Hurns out. He won't let what happened last week at the end of the game bother him. I think he got through that at the end of the game last week. He came back, and in the two drives right after that, he got his composure back, which I thought was important. He wasn't dazzling, but remember at the beginning of overtime last week, they're backed up at their own 20, and they get a 30, 35-yard drive to get out of that. It changed the field position. That was important. He might win the game with his legs this week.
All right. He can certainly do that. Ashlyn, you are up next.
Josh Lambeau, he will continue to bring intensity to this team. When's the last time you saw a kicker bring so much intensity and confidence onto the bench? I mean, he's going around hyping everyone up, doing a song and dance after he wins a field goal. I watched Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye doing this when he was about to tie up the game-winning field goal last week, which is pretty cool. I've never seen someone rally around a kicker so much. I don't think the game is up to him this week. I don't think you're going into overtime and putting him in a situation where he has to get a game-tying field goal. He might have helped bring that swagger we just talked about back to this team. I mean, people know who Josh Lambeau is in Jacksonville. I've never seen so many comments come from Ozone Live yesterday just for a kicker.
All right. So I'm last on this one, and I'll go with Mercedes Lewis, and I'll say he will be the difference in the running game this week. ESPN.com had a best player at every position and gave him a 92 blocking grade and said he was the best blocking tight end in football, which he has been for a while. And he needs to be this week. So I'd say he is, and he gives those guys trouble and clears the holes and allows the Jaguars to find some room. He won't be playing elsewhere in 2018. He really is playing at the top of his game right now, and at 33 has a lot left to give, primarily in the blocking, but more than that, if you go back to the game against the Bengals here, he's a guy they can count on intermediate, you know? You're not going to throw him the ball all the time, but he's a guy that you can get the ball to, and he can move the chains. And he might surpass is too strong. He might challenge Brad Meester for most games played as a Jaguar. He already has 163. Sunday's 164. At the end of the season, if there's no playoff, he ties Jimmy Smith with 170. So there's an opportunity here for a guy who's been slightly appreciated, who's had his moments, to become a more appreciated player down the stretch of his career as the best blocking tight end in football. And this running game has been number one. So I say he is a big difference on Sunday. Anything else to add?
Lit? Is that me?
Are you fleeking?
What is going on?
I am so young and hip today, I can't even stand myself.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope that on Sunday that you are equally hip because you're going to be warm.
I'll be wearing this. And you?
I don't like you very much right now. All right, well, we're going to go have fun with it regardless. Jaguars and Browns coming up. We'll have all kinds of coverage for you right here on Jaguars.com. Don't forget the social media channels. At least one of us will be able to tell you exactly the weather conditions. I wonder which one. For my buddy John Osier, for Ashlyn Sullivan, for Joe Fortunato, and Patrick Cavanaugh, thanks for joining us for Jags Drive Time. On Monday, we'll be de-thawed and ready to go for another edition of this fine show. Have a great Friday.